24 hours a day, 7 days a week. The news never stops. Life goes on around town and around the world. You need a talk show that keeps track of it. A program with bold opinions that's always open to your views. That is this show. Welcome to the Mark Davis Show on 660 AM. The Answer.
It is 8:09 on this Tuesday, the 30th day of April 2024. So glad you are here. Thank you. Welcome. Come on in. Welcome back. Welcome if you just started listening. It's just every day. It's every day now. I guess there are two kinds of universities, those that are doing something about rampant, violent Jew-hating. Let's talk a little bit about violence, or let's actually flip the coin and talk about peace. What is peaceful? Peaceful is not merely the absence of violence, all right? It's not really binary. Between expressing your view and harming no one and slicing their head off, there's a lot of space, you know, in between. I do not believe that it is peaceful to lock arms and prevent a Jewish student from walking into a building. That's not peaceful because they didn't kill him. It's not peaceful because they didn't, you know, beat him over the head with a frying pan. That is an egregious breach of the peace. It is not peaceable assembly. The peace is defined by everybody doing what they wish to do. Protesters having their say in the public square within university rules, while people go about their business and are able to walk into a building. In America in 2024, on campuses across America, we have Jewish students targeted, some of them aggressively, and blockaded from going about their daily business by Jew-hating anti-Semitic punks and hooligans. And on far too many of these campuses, no one is doing anything about it. In a minute, I'm going to go to the phones here first and see what folks' thoughts are. I brought up a lot in the first hour. I'll recap you here in a second. 866-660-5759. That's where you call us. That's where you text us on the ViaScan of Las Colinas text line. This wonderful young man at UCLA had somebody, I don't know if he handed somebody his phone and said, video me, if you will, goes toe-to-toe with these Jew-hating protesters. And then... I think a mother of another student that had the same thing happen again at UCLA, she calls the UCLA police, records it, and asks them, is this legal? Are you guys just allowing this? So I'll share both of those here in a second, but first to the phones. We talked a lot in the first hour about political bigotry, and I don't think I coined this. I mean, I can't be, right? But we don't talk about it enough. We understand what I've just described is religious bigotry, hating somebody for being Jewish, hating somebody, not for anything behaviorally like 9/11, but hating somebody just for being a Muslim is Islamophobia. Hating somebody for being a Christian is religious bigotry. Racial bigotry, we know all about that. Hating somebody for being black, being Hispanic, being Asian, being white. That's it. Just because of what race they are, you hate them, right? That's the definition of those types of bigotry. We don't talk nearly enough about political bigotry, which is epidemic. It's absolutely epidemic. Now, our side is not immune to this. I will tell you that our side doesn't practice it in the halls of Congress or in the classrooms all over America. But if you've got like some relative, if Uncle Fred doesn't like your, you know, his daughter's fiance because he's a Democrat, I hate that boy. That's political bigotry. He might find him annoying, et cetera, but again, to literally heap hate on somebody because of their politics. Now, if he comes into your house and insults you and, you know, and says he hates America, that's behavioral. That's not just for being a lib. That's for being an a-hole. So those are two very, very different things. So, yes, it can travel in multiple directions, as can racial bigotry. You can hate somebody for being black. You can hate somebody for being white. But here's the thing. The political bigotry of note today is on so many TV networks, in so many classrooms, spewed out of the mouth of so many actual elected political leaders. If you are a Trump voter, you are either evil or stupid or both. You are a threat to democracy. These people aren't just coming at us because we're pro-life and they're pro-choice, because they don't think that borders are that important and we do, because they want high taxes and we want low taxes. Those are the normal debates over issues. That's Earth logic. Oh, no. All over the TV spectrum, all through the halls of politics, can be found James Carville in that stupid rant of his, excoriating and cursing young people for not being sufficiently, for not cleaving sufficiently to Biden. "We're not talking about the issues I care about," he mocks them and saying. Let me tell you something. If you don't get out and vote, you're not going to have a country. You're going to have a theocracy. We're not going to have a government if Trump and Gorsuch. It's like, what happened to you, James? What in the world happened to you? What has happened to all the people who are doing this? Political bigotry. Know it. Find it. Identify it by its name. We are in Mansfield. Hey, Shalene, thanks for hanging on. How are you?
I'm good. How are you?
Great. Thank you.
Wow, that was a cue up. So I work at a school. I'm a teacher. Mm-hmm. I've been a teacher for a lot of years. Mm-hmm. But I switched districts this past year. Mm-hmm. So I was at a lower campus district for Black History Month in mm-hmm. February.
Uh-oh.
And yeah. And they asked they told us to decorate our doors for Black History Month, our classroom doors.
Mm-hmm.
So I chose someone I thought was a good example of an educated, patriotic person.
No. Can I guess?
Oh, yes.
I almost want to guess. Let's go to the phones and guess. I'm teasing. Whom? Because, again, it's Black History Month. And as, by way of explanation, if somebody's new to the show, Shalene mentions Black History Month, and I went, uh-oh. Which is February. Black History Month is fine. But the degree to which Black History Month becomes rampantly, radically political and involves absolute hating on white people, that's where Black History Month becomes. So anyway, so whom did you offer up for Black History Month?
Officer Brandon Tatum.
And we're done. For those unfamiliar, evenings right here on 660 AM, The Answer. Proud Black man, conservative Black man, police officer turned talk show host. That's wonderful. That's
absolutely
great.
I thought so.
So you thought so. How'd that go over?
And educated and well-spoken and all the things. And I was called into a meeting, and I was told that he was not Black enough.
Excuse me. I'm sorry. What?
That is what they said to me. He is not Black enough.
Yeah.
And they said they put me on administrative leave for a week.
Whoa. Okay, we don't know you. We don't know that. I mean, I don't want to get too. But can we identify the district that did this to you?
Not yet, because I still work here until May.
Okay, call me back on the day after your last day.
Absolutely. I'll give you a hint. I'll give you a hint in just a minute, though.
Okay, all right.
So, So I was called into this meeting. I was put on administrative leave. They told, and then they marched me back into my classroom in front of the kids to have me grab my stuff and be escorted out of the building.
All right, can I ask? I don't want to be coy. Is it just a really heavily, because it's not necessarily true? Is it a heavily majority Black district or not really?
97% Hispanic, 3% Black.
Okay, all right, continue.
So I was marched out of the building. Mm-hmm. They told my colleagues and my kids not to discuss it. And one of them messaged me shortly thereafter anyway and said that he had been called in and interviewed and asked if I had ever said anything racially negative. They were investigating racially me for negative. Being a racist.
Right. For offering up for Black History Month an example of a proud, accomplished Black broadcaster who, here's the sin, his sin and yours, happens to be conservative. I mean, imagine if you could have offered up Clarence. I was prepared to go full Clarence Thomas, but you went right into my industry. Thank you. Or Alan West or Walter Williams or Thomas Sowell.
Could have been a dozen different people.
Oh,
but
yeah.
He's the one who popped into my head. I listen to you guys all the time. He popped into my head. Mm-hmm. I stuck him on the door. Anyway, so after a week, I was called back into another meeting.
Time for the deprogramming.
Mm-hmm. Yep. They said that my relationships on the first campus had been damaged to the point where they could not be repaired. And they said that I could go to one of two different other campuses.
Oh, my.
So the campus I was on was kind of central Metroplex. It was on the east side of Fort Worth. Mm-hmm. The campuses they offered me, and I live in Mansfield. The campuses they offered me were Mesquite and White Settlement. Keeping in mind, I have to be there at, 7, 8 in the morning, depending on which campus.
Well, but I mean, Mesquite, which is way east of you, and White Settlement, which is way west of you. How's the same entity sending you to two such disparate school districts that are 40 miles apart?
Presumably because solely for the fact that my relationships had been burned.
But who does that? I mean, silly me. I mean, please admit, this is me, talk show guy needs to learn about teaching 101. If you're in the Mansfield or the Mesquite or the Fort Worth ISD, who rides herd over your life and sends you to another district?
Well, it's not another district. Mm-hmm. That's the hint that I'm giving you about this district. It's a charter school.
Okay. It may not. So it's not the same chain of command as the one that might oversee the DISD or any other ISD.
Correct. So here's the kicker. Mm-hmm. In the position I'm in now, I'm not teaching what I'm certified in. I'm in a classroom with a completely different certification. Mm-hmm. Where I am, quote unquote, facilitating the classes. And my administrator came in and doctored up my grade books.
You got five talk show topics going at once right now. What are we going to do? You said, I mean, the school year ends in May. What lies ahead for you? I mean, you have the gift of teaching and the calling and all this great stuff. You still do. Don't past tense that to me. What you used to have and don't have anymore is the expectation that your talents will be respected. The expectation that you can't have your thoughts dashed against the rocks because they don't politically jibe with whoever the management is overseeing you. So
right, but in general, that's not the case in education.
What's the plan? What are you going to do?
Sell insurance.
Oh. Okay. Well, listen. Whatever you do, I wish you well, and thank you for sharing this. And this, I don't want this to. This is not okay. I'm not litigious. Too many people are suing people, but is there you haven't been terminated, right?
They couldn't find anything that I had done wrong.
Well, there you are. So, but I wonder if there's something actionable because you certainly were handed an undeserved consequence. Did this involve, did this damage your career track? Did they hurt you financially? Mm-hmm. And I don't need to send everybody to the lawyers. We have too much of that. But you might really have, and you'll burn every bridge you had to teaching ever. I mean, you need to be doing insurance while you're doing this. But I don't want these people to get away with this for what they did to you.
I don't either. Yeah. I just don't know. I don't know a path forward. And the only reason I say sell insurance is because I've applied and applied and applied to everything. Mm-hmm. And this girl with military experience and 2 master's degrees and all that stuff can't find a job.
Let's do this. Let me put you back with Rhonda. Let me get a little contact info for you. And because I want to see what happens here and have you be able to get a hold of us if there's any progress on this or if anybody might want to get a hold of you, because I certainly won't do that on the air. That would be bad. So, but let's do this, off the radar. And Shalene, thank you. Thank you for the call. Thank you for your service to those students. And thank you for your courage. I appreciate you enormously. Joe Biden's America, kids. Joe Biden's America. What side are you on? 823. All right, I have an idea. Because that's just wrong, what happened to that lady. And this may be one of the reasons we have the Viascan of Las Colinas tax line. 866-660-5759. Somebody had a great suggestion. Got ahead of me that maybe she needs to be put in touch with Officer Brandon Tatum's producers, whom I know because they're colleagues of mine, and see if we can't tell her little story on the Officer Tatum show its own self. Others may have ideas. Got any lawyers want to take her case? Absolutely punished professionally for an expression of conservatism. That's funny. Every time I hear, you know, there's a, well, Mark, you hear about this teacher, this somebody, or this somebody got fired for being conservative. And then you dig deeper and you find out that maybe somebody got really mouthy at the workplace or started an argument or brought an FJB flag to work or something. It's like, okay, sit tight. There's more to the story. But in her story, if you didn't hear the beginning of it, she's at a school and it was Black History Month and she chose to feature Officer Brandon Tatum, who's gone from cop to broadcaster and is quite black and quite conservative. And therein lay the problem. And she was basically fired from her job for that. And I'm sorry, that cannot stand. So listen, 866-660-5759. If you want to text us anything that we can, we're in touch with her now, and maybe we can all collectively help her out. A number of calls on this, and so let's do those as well. But let me hop into the newsroom real quick with Nikki, and then we're going to have a quick Q&A with Jace Yarbrough, who's running against Brent Hagenboom in that Senate District 30 seat. The runoff there is May 28th, and so we'll do that real quick, and then we'll talk to you and just work our way through the rest of whatever the day holds on this final day of April. A Tuesday. Glad you are here. Mark Davis, 831. Here's Nikki. On a Tuesday, 866-660-5759. So in this crazy world where across college campuses, just horrible things are happening. And then there was a lady who had something pretty terrible happen in her classroom as she got punished for offering up a conservative to admire for Black History Month. Part of me says you had to know that was coming. Were you trolling them a little bit? But listen, maybe you know what? Maybe you're just making a point. You know, heaven forbid you're making a point. And this, by the way, is the problem with Black History Month. It got hijacked. Ain't no problem with Black History Month, whatever. You know, but when it became politicized and when it became like the white people are terrible, no. And when all of a sudden your observance that maybe let's do a Brandon Tatum, let's do a Clarence Thomas, let's do Alan West, let's do Thomas Sowell. And all of a sudden, and they are then maligned as being, quote, not black enough? What? Well, the world's going crazy in a whole lot of ways. This election is an opportunity to do something about that. Here on our side of conservatism and republicanism, we like to think we've got the reins of some degree of earth logic at our control. And of course, as we talk a lot about November, we're not done with primary season. We have runoffs. Oh, do we have runoffs? May 28th, it's still forever from now. But one of the key races, of course, is Senate District 30. Who gets to fill the Drew Springer vacancy? And that's either Brent Hagenboom or Jace Yarbrough. And Jace is here. Welcome back, sir. How you doing?
Hey, Mark. Thanks for having me back on. I really appreciate it.
My pleasure to have you. So it's been a couple of weeks since we spoke. What's been happening? What's going on in the campaign? You guys have had some joint appearances. How have those gone? Give me what's the lay of the land here as we get ready to start the month of May?
We've really enjoyed getting out on the campaign trail, meeting folks, laying out a lot of policy proposals, and going back and forth with my opponent to the forums that he shows up to. Some of your folks may remember or may have seen on social media, I make a point of setting up a little sign every time he skips out on us. So we've talked a lot about the border, about property taxes, about education, and any number of issues on the campaign trail. But continuing to build grassroots support, continuing to feel the energy out there and connect with voters.
And it's funny because my constant goal in almost any primary, and certainly in all of them at some point, is to see what might be actual policy differences. Because this is where all the Republicans figure out who our standard bearer is going to be. And you mentioned borders and mentioned property taxes. And in talking to some people, I think it was you had just been on with my friend Chad Hastie up in Lubbock, and I had him on just talking about various things. And we talked about the conversation you had with him. And I'm always in search of, okay, where might there be differences between you and Brent? Property taxes was one thing that came up. So let me dive into that. If it seems like you are the sort of the Don Huffine style, let's get rid of property taxes, which struck some people as weird because Don endorsed Brent. And Brent seems more of, I don't want to characterize him, and I will have him on to talk about his. But what's the difference between you and Brent on property taxes?
Well, stepping back a little, Mark, I think it's difficult here. We don't actually know a lot of Brent's policy positions, right? I mean, the guy doesn't even have an issues page on his website, whereas I've done everything I can to lay out some very specific actionable plans for people. You mentioned the border security. You mentioned the property tax issue. So Brent was in a candid conversation with someone and called the idea of elimination of property taxes ridiculous. That was the word he used. And now he's come back when he's been confronted on the campaign trail and in our forum saying, no, actually, I'm for elimination. It's just going to take some time. And, you know, that's one instance. I think the border is another great example of.
Let's stay one at a time. So So if indeed your take would be that you are more aggressive in getting rid of property taxes than he is.
Absolutely. Okay. I think that's true. You know, I'm out on the campaign trail. I mean, I was in Grayson County this weekend for a number of events. And one of the things that someone brought to my attention was the proliferation of RV parks up there in which folks are simply living. It's not as if they're coming and going and enjoying a vacation up here in North Texas, but they reside there permanently. And the reason is they can't afford housing, in part because of the skyrocketing property taxes that they're experiencing in places that are having a lot of high growth. Gotcha. Like Grayson County.
Indeed. So there are a variety of ways to do this. How do we get to, I mean, what's your thought about simply getting rid of property taxes? How do we do it?
Sure. Well, you know, Don, when he was on, mentioned that he hopes that Brent had read a couple of his white papers. There are a number of folks out there that are looking hard at this issue. My disposition is this: to say what I want is for people to love the place where they're from and to have confidence that they're going to be able to pass it on to their kids and their grandkids. We have got to find a way to meet our needs without risking people losing land and homes that have been in their families for generations. That's the ultimate goal. That's what I'm committed to doing. Mm-hmm. There are proposals on the table to do that. I'm happy to entertain them and come to a consensus as a Senate district. Okay, which direction do we want to go as the folks who live up here, and then go fight for that. But I think the key issue is I stand on my principles. I'm clear about what my convictions are and what my goals are, and then I'm capable of going and executing on behalf of the folks in our district to fight hard to get that done.
All right. The elimination of property taxes, boy, makes me tingly too. Even if we cut a lot of spending, which is a good conservative thing to do, there absolutely will be some amount of revenue that will need to be replaced, which brings the question, where will that come from? From Don to everybody else that I've talked about, that their answer tends to be an increase in the sales tax. Is that your thought as well?
I'm open to any and all options, and certainly that is one that's commonly raised by folks. Expanding the base of the sales tax and the consumption taxes is one of those options. But I think at the end of the day, our preference should be to meet our needs, again, without this risk of folks losing homes that they can no longer afford to live in, even though they, quote unquote, own them.
So now we're getting somewhere. If sales tax is going to be somewhat higher to take care of some of that, and if other things are going to be simply spending cuts, and even a red state like Texas has places where we can cut, what seems to you like areas of Texas government that spend too much where we might be able to apply a little bit of a scalpel there?
Well, one of the things that we talk about on the campaign trail a lot is what's going on in a number of our public schools. Right now, we're buying lots of library books that, frankly, have sexualizing material in them that when people see them are shocked. Right. So I think that places, that's certainly a place I want to start. And I want to start looking. Why is it that we're spending money on books that propagate ideologies that are at odds with Texas families and their values? So I don't have a priority list of XYZ where I'm going to go to find these cuts necessarily. But in general, I'm absolutely of the conservative persuasion that we shouldn't be expanding our state budget by 20 or 30%, annum over annum. That's certainly not what we as Republicans have stood for, and we should be firm in resisting that kind of bloat.
Chase Yarbrough is here. The other thing you mentioned is borders. Again, just from hearing folks who have been to some of the forums, the thing I've heard is there might be a difference between what do you let me ask you first, and then I'll tell you something that somebody mentioned to me. What do you perceive as a difference in border policy between you and Brent?
Sure. Well, I'll go back to the issue of specificity. So I've laid out a plan. I've said, one, I absolutely support Senate Bill 4, but we're nowhere close to being done. We should stand up our own border protection unit. We should end magnets that keep illegals in our state, like in-state tuition rates for those who can't prove up residency. We should mandate E-Verify for Texas employers. We should finish the border wall. We should ban foreign adversaries and their agents from owning our land. When I raise these issues, you know, for my opponent, he doesn't really have much in by the way of specificity. And at one forum, he actually kind of co-opted some of my language about a border protection unit, kind of lost his way a little bit, said something about a militia, and then sat down. And that, unfortunately, is a kind of a very common occurrence, right? He kind of mumbles his way through basic talking points, looking at his phone, asks more details from the moderator about, you know, conservative policies that we've all been debating for a long time. And I think that's a real problem. And the main contrast, which is that he's purposely vague on some of these key issues. And the problem with that is you don't know where folks like that are going to stand until the chips are down, which is not when you want to find out what someone's true colors are.
Has he disagreed? I mean, you mentioned about four or five things in there, and they were specific. Has he taken issue with any of them and said, well, I disagree with that?
He hasn't taken issue with any of those, Mark, I don't think. I mean, as I said, he kind of tried to co-opt and almost follow me in some of the language that I used to talk about the Border Protection Unit. But he hasn't come out, for example, against red flag laws. He hasn't condemned the use of taxpayer dollars for abortion travel. He hasn't promised voters that he'll never support a vax mandate. There's a big issue up in Grayson County with a cement kiln that's coming in. The lieutenant governor took an interest in this recently. I was up there during the TCEQ hearing, spoke publicly on the record along with outgoing Senator Springer, outgoing House member Reggie Smith, and incoming House member Shelley Luther. My opponent wasn't there, and he has yet, even though I've challenged him to do this, he has yet to take a position on the record as to whether he supports or opposes that kiln, and I've been very clear in my opposition. I think specific policy differences do matter in general, but when you have someone who refuses to offer any kind of specificity, even to the point, again, of not even having an issues page, it's tough to draw these contrasts.
Was there on one specific thing, and this is, I think somebody attended a thing, might have been a clip of it, I don't know. Did you withhold some of what seems to be some of the broad admiration for Abbott sending all the buses to these various blue cities? Was that something that you did not like as much as maybe some other people did?
Call for a time because of the way it shaped the narrative that we're having nationally. But I think that is not a long-term strategy. I think you and Chad maybe talked about this issue, right? Like seating illegals throughout our country is not a viable option moving forward. We should be now sending them back home. That's the only place they should go, right?
Because no doubt.
Right.
Yeah. Nobody says that is the whole way, but I think it's total political theater. It's totally meant to make the blue mayors nervous, et cetera, et cetera. But generally speaking, do you approve or not approve of Abbott having sent the ones who have gone so far? Have those been a good idea or a bad idea?
I approve of optics like what happened at Martha's Vineyard with DeSantis and Governor Abbott sending these folks to New York City and applying pressure to places like that. But I think now we need to shift our focus, and it needs to be the only place you're going is back home, because until folks in these other countries see their neighbors coming back after having undergone a harrowing experience and now $15,000 or $20,000 poorer or whatever the cartels are charging for transportation, I mean, that's the only way we're going to stop this, right? We're at the point now where the only way to stop and reverse the invasion and just the huge amounts of migration is when the incentives for those individuals are reversed. And that's a key way to do that, contribute to that reversal.
The website is Jace, J-A-C-E, jaceforTexas.com. And just looking at it, there actually is an issues key. So just for keeping track. Jace Yarbrough, the Texas Senate runoff there for SD 30. Thank you, man. Appreciate it very, very much.
Thanks for having me on, Mark. work. I appreciate it.
You betcha. Jace, J-A-C-E, jacefortexas.com. Brent's welcome. He'll be along at some point, I'm sure, and then we'll run through these guys again, perhaps multiple times, because God knows we got time. Runoff is May 28th, 8:49. All right, 8:55. Tell you what makes me happy. Little Sheryl Crow, if it makes you happy. I think Jace's call for specificity is good, and Brent's welcome to be on anytime. We'll be ping-ponging back and forth between these guys as voters go to the polls. Obviously, early voting will kick in here at some point. Then on the 28th, we'll see who's going to be Drew Springer's successor. Specificity is good. I'll say the following. Those who are on the noble, very noble trail of flat out getting rid of property taxes, where we are no longer leasing our houses from the government anymore, there are two responsibilities. Number one, admit there's going to be a sales tax increase and own it, and which he pretty well did. And number two, you know we're going to have to do some cutting. So tell me where. You better, and those are things that need answers as well. And by the way, those are the answers nobody ever wants to give, because as soon as you say, well, here's what I would cut, 500 people get angry at you for cutting the thing that they love. So just, it's a challenge. 866-660-5759. We are in Sulphur Springs. Kenny, Mark Davis, welcome. Topic heavy day. Glad you're here.
Mark, as I told Rhonda, I'm early August to your birthday, older than you. So, I mean, we've seen so much of the same thing growing up.
No doubt.
When we were in school, the powers that be decided that we no longer needed God in our schools, and then they decided we no longer needed corporal punishment in our schools.
All right.
And to a large degree, not even in our homes anymore.
Yeah, and so here's the, this is awesome. It's like two talk show topics at once. And Kenny, you're noticing of those trends and how things just kind of went, you know, where in a handbasket thereafter, is accurate. But I think that it's more that the school problem is that they became religiously hostile. I don't ever need a school to religiously indoctrinate my kid. That's my job. That should happen in the home. I also don't think I need anybody at a school to hit my kid. You willing to trust these people if they've had a bad day, take a paddle to a kid? If parents want a paddle, that's on them. So I've never looked to schools, never looked to government to spank my kids or teach them religion. But the problem has been is that discipline is gone in the schools. It's like the inmates are running the asylum, and that's crazy. Can't have that. And in terms of religion, there are kids whose expressions of faith have been shut down by religiously hostile school management. So there's a balance to be struck there somewhere. I appreciate you. Thank you very much. 8:58. Let's cruise into the 9 o'clock hour. More calls. We got to play this kid at UCLA just trying to break through a group of Jew haters to get to class. Good luck with that. And then the lady who called UCLA's police to say, are you guys allowing this? And they basically said, yeah. So we got that and much more coming up in the 9 o'clock hour. So ride with us. It's 8:58. Mark Davis, 6:60 a.m. The answer.